Hang on just a minute, will you? Because this podcast is labeled explicit. We're going to say words that you might not want everybody in your office to hear. So make sure that your earbuds are in or that you're listening in a place where only people who are on board to hear these sorts of stories can hear these sorts of stories. Sound good? Let's do it.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, this is sexual folklorist Dixie Delator, and I'm really excited to say this next part. This is episode 50 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. 50! We've made 50 of these things. I'm so excited to tell you that we hit this landmark number, and it's a really good episode to mark the occasion. Let's talk about our storyteller for this episode. She's written a memoir on plunging into online dating just as she was entering menopause. And she's hoping to sell that memoir so that she can travel all over the country telling people how great middle-aged sex can be. Her first career was as a physician's assistant where she worked for nearly 20 years. She was well paid. Now she's a poor writer. She makes no money at it, and she's ecstatically happy. She's a relationship editor of the Erotic Review magazine and writes a bi-monthly column on love and sex called Savvy Love. And this was her first time getting on stage to tell a story. She told this at Body Storytelling in Seattle. And this storyteller is Karen Jones.
Anything. I cannot see you guys. And I have a drink up here because I have a bit of cough. I might just start coughing, so that's why I have this. Anyway, so I became single not that long ago after a 23-year marriage, and I just so happened to be living in London with my ex and my son. And around that same time, I was going through menopause. And I didn't have the normal symptoms. I did not have night sweats. I didn't have hot flashes. I was losing my mind. But one of the upsides of going through menopause is that you feel bolder. You feel less like you care about what people think. And you just want to kind of take risks. And I, when I moved to England, I decided not to practice medicine anymore because I was in menopause and I didn't want to take care of other people's problems. You know, I take care of my son, I took care of myself, but everyone else could just go to hell. So I got on Tinder and OkCupid. And my God, you know, when you're in a dating pool of 10 million people, whew, that is a bonanza. That is a real bonanza, and it was feeling good. You know, I hadn't felt desired for a long time. So, you know, every time I swiped right, and it was like, woo hoo hoo, you know, someone wants me finally. So, shortly after I started doing this, I met a man named George. Now I was looking for something a little different. I didn't want to do vanilla anymore, so I was kind of picking these guys out based on their profiles. Now George was a really eloquent writer, and I'm such a sucker for that, of course. But when he walked through the door, he was about 6'3". He had these isosceles triangle sideburns. He looked like Pierce Bronson, except with he was much more swarthy. And, you know, unlike most of the metrosexuals in London, George wore Carhartts. And so this Northwest girl was like, ooh, yeah. So we started talking at the bar, and we were immediately smitten with each other. And George asked me, so what are you interested in? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. I'm just a suburban mom. And so George takes my wrist in each of his hands, and he slowly pins them behind my back, and he leans down from his large height, and he gently bites me on the neck. And that was the most electrifying thing anybody had ever done to me up to that point. So when he looked at me and I could breathe again, I said, that's a good start. So George and I became lovers, and it was wonderful. He taught me all sorts of new things in the bedroom. And one day I got a call from him. He says, Karen, I have this friend, his name is Rob, and he has these penthouse parties. Would you like to go? And I'm thinking, George, I say, George, is this a sex party? And he said, why, yes, it is. And I said, since I was in menopause, yes! My first sex party. All right, so he was excited. And so the night of the party, it's cold, and it's March, and it's drizzly. And we take a cab from his house on the south side of the river in Brixton, which is a very gritty place. And we take the cab over to the north side of the river to the Hilton Hotel at Westminster. And as we're going up in the elevator to the 11th floor, I'm clutching my reusable Seattle nylon bag with two bottles of Prosecco in it, and I'm starting to get really nervous. And the thing that's going through my head is, you know that scene in Eyes Wide Shut? You know, like everybody is so fucking beautiful. Like all the call girls have these gorgeous bodies, and everyone looks like Tom Cruise. And I'm thinking, oh shit, I'm gonna be sitting in the corner with my hand over my dimpled ass, just watching. So we knock on the door, and as soon as the door opened, I knew it was gonna be nothing like that. Because Rob, with the host, was this guy. He was about 5'4", just a little sprite of a guy, dark curly hair. He looked like this Jewish Dudley Moore. And all he had on was a black latex Speedo. And he throws open his arms and he welcomes us and he takes our jackets and says, go introduce yourselves. So we walk into this penthouse. It's not that big. It's just like a studio apartment. It's got a queen bed on one side, and on the opposite end of the room is a king bed, and in between there's a couple couches, and there's some tables. On one table there's drinks and finger food, and then the other table there's vibrators and dildos and lube and switches and riding crops. And everybody's still clothed, so we start mingling, and I start talking to these three women. Now, one of them is also an American. She's got very spiky hair. It's all different colors. She's got tattoos everywhere. And I'm kind of feeling intimidated and suburban. And the other two women were also, they were very, very nice. They were all nice. We just started talking about our kids. And one of the women was pregnant. I mean, she was bodaciously pregnant. And she was gorgeous. And I thought, oh, how nice is that? I remember being so horny when I was pregnant. And what a nice thing it would have been to go to a sex party. But while we're talking, Rob, the host, comes in and interrupts, and he says, can I have some time with you, darling? Because I was the new girl. I was the only new person there. So I said, sure. And he takes me over to the king-size bed, and he takes off my dress, and he takes off my underwear, and he goes to town between my legs. Now, you know, who doesn't love oral sex, right? But Rob was so enthusiastic, you know. He was like this little black lab puppy looking for its lost chew toy in my vagina. And then, so after, you know, 30 seconds of that, then he puts on his condom and starts fucking me. And, you know, after a few minutes, he has his first orgasm. So he was done. And I got up and kissed him on the cheek and went and got my first glass of wine. And I started talking with the women again. Whew, thank God. But they start looking at each other like they've got a conspiracy going. And I get taken over to a couch by them and laid down. And one of them starts licking me, which was much, much nicer, much more slow. And another starts fondling my breasts, and wouldn't you know, but the pregnant woman straddled my face. Now, so I look up, and there is this unwaxed Earth Mama snatch coming down onto my face. Now, I don't know about you, but when I sit on someone's face, I make sure they can breathe. But she couldn't see my face because her tummy was like... And on top of that, something just wasn't right. You know, I was never in the habit of tasting my patients when I gave them vaginal exams. I couldn't tell if this was bacterial vaginosis or a yeast infection, but you know, it just wasn't right. So I started coughing and spluttering, and she quickly got off my face, and there were Snickers all around. And I kind of looked up and I looked over at George and I said, and he looked at me like, oh, just buck up, kiddo. It can only get better. So I went and had another glass of Prosecco. So I started engaging with this other couple, and I really love to give blowjobs. So I thought, okay, I can do this right. So I go down on this guy, and I am sucking him, and he's not getting aroused. And so I'm starting to fondle his balls, and he's not getting aroused. And I'm like, don't take this personally. Don't take this personally. And just kept going and kept going, and it wasn't happening. And I was starting to take it personally. And finally, I just gave up, and he just kind of laughed, and I kissed, and that was it. So I was feeling a little demoralized by this point. You know, I was not really performing very well at the sex party. So George played with me and made me feel a little bit better. And we're sitting there, and things are kind of winding down. And Rob, the host, is standing in the front of the room, and his girlfriend, Pen, is kneeling in front of him, giving him a hand job. And I see an opportunity. So I go over to these two. Let me say something about Pen. So she's this petite woman, so she's perfect for Rob. She's petite, she's really toned, long, dark hair. She's got this gorgeous tattoo across her chest of a bird. And I go over to the two of them, and I smear my middle finger with lube, and I lean down next to Rob and look up into him, and he looks down at me, and he's like, uh-huh, I know what you're gonna do. And so I stick my finger into Rob's ass. Now, this is really familiar territory for me. Not because of what George has taught me over the last few months, but because, as a medical provider, I once ran a steel mill clinic. And I gave prostate exams to 300 steel workers every year for their annuals. So I knew a man's prostate up, down, and all around. So I'm working Rob's prostate, and Penn is working his cock, and he is getting excited, and I do it a little harder, she does a little harder, and he starts moaning, and his eyes roll back, and his head goes back, and he starts shaking, and he starts hanging on to both of us because he can barely stand. And from the depths of this little man came this enormous, growling, shouting orgasm, and all over Penn's bird. He blew his load. And we got a standing ovation. Home pretty happy. And George and I took showers, and we cuddled under the comforter, and we giggled together. And the thing I realized is that, you know, I was almost 50 years old, and I was suddenly feeling bold, almost fearless. And I realized that, you know, menopause is not the end of anything. It was the start of something.
I'm gonna perform a procedure on you called milking the prostate.
Yeah.
It's an anally induced ejaculation.
That's right. Technically, biologically, physically, psychologically.
You're gonna feel strong pressure on the prostate gland from inside your rectum.
Stop! Oh, can't keep doing it! Yeah!
Mine's fake, inanimate, but feels great to stimulate your prostate. Relax, it's fat. Let me pack your crack and make it all fat up in your sacroiliac. So back it up, baby. Back it up, back it up. Back it up, baby. Back it up, back it up.
That was awesome.
I recently got a private message on Twitter from one of our Patreon supporters. She just wanted to say that she was so thankful. Good timing, since it was just Thanksgiving. She was so thankful for the Body Storytelling Podcast. She's a supporter of us on Patreon, and she wanted me to know what she loves about the podcast's format and the stories that she listens to as she sits and crafts Christmas gifts for this year. I love that visual, knowing what you're doing while you're listening to this podcast. So I'm going to ask you to do what she did. I'm going to ask you to support the Body Storytelling Patreon. Patreon is a way to show support for the things that you love and want to see in the world. Because I really just don't think I'm going to get that TV deal, y'all. I mean, it might happen, but in the meantime, it's a monthly struggle. And you can help us by supporting us at Patreon. It's patreon.com/body, BAWDY. Support us at whatever level you can. I'm working on new rewards to go out in 2019. I've got some great ideas. If you have ideas on what you'd like to see as a patron of the arts, please let me know. I love getting messages from you. And thanks in advance for supporting Body Storytelling on Patreon. I'm really excited about the song for this time. After 50 episodes, you might have picked up on the fact that I really like it when people create custom songs for me. And this song is one of those. The band Creature Hole, who is from Seattle, wrote this song and performed it for our PAX the Wallop show earlier this year in Seattle. And recently they came to our larger San Francisco show, came all the way down on tour to perform it on stage at Body in San Francisco. I really like it. This song is called PAX the Wallop, and it's from Creature Hole.
sometimes I don't know exactly what to do with my time. Might wanna go out, might wanna stay in all night. It's hard to decide, don't wanna make up my mind. Is that such a crime? And sometimes I want it real hard.
Real hard.
And sometimes I want it real fast.
Real fast.
And sometimes I just wanna lay back with my headphones on, pajamas on, and listen to a podcast. This shit's live, I feel it inside. Listening to you talk, I feel your body and mind. Got me creaming, thinking about a dollar. Better call up Dixie because she packs a wallop. Turn around, you know how I like it. With your hands now. Pack a wallop, stick it out, I hit harder than you can. You about to understand who's the fucking man. Now turn around, you know how I like it. With your hands now. Pack a wallop, stick it out, I hit harder than you can. You about to understand who's the fucking man.
So after listening to this many episodes, you know that the thing that turns me on the most, the thing that makes me happiest in this world, is seeing your face at a live body storytelling show. I love to meet the people who listen to this podcast and who sit in the audience and listen to shows and realize that they have a story to tell too. So I'm going to tell you about upcoming body storytelling shows. On December 6th in Seattle, that's coming up really soon, the theme is the Naughty Bits, just in time for the holidays. For December 13th in San Francisco, that's at the Verity Club, and the theme on December 13th is Happy Endings. We'll be back in San Francisco on January 10th. Tickets are online now. And on January 17th, we'll be in Seattle with the theme Shenanigans, and that will be right before PodCon. I'll be at PodCon in Seattle that weekend, and send me an email and let me know if you'd like to hang out and get a coffee at PodCon, because clearly you like podcasting too. If you want to pitch me a story, I'm at dixie@bodystorytelling.com, and I love hearing what you think. So send me emails, send me feedback, send me a coffee invite, whatever it is. But what I want most is to meet you in person. I hope to see you at a live body storytelling soon. I want to give a special shout out. Thank you to Good Vibrations and Babe Lan for providing the prizes for our live body storytelling shows. When you play bingo, there needs to be an enticement for you to talk to all those strangers. And that enticement is prizes from Good Vibrations and Babeland. We're not going to make you talk to people without some sort of reward, and we want to say thank you to Good Vibes and Babeland for giving us those rewards to give to you. The prize packages are pretty spectacular. So thanks in advance, and when we see you at a live show, there's a chance you could win a bag of sex toys. Thanks to them. Thank you to the team that makes this podcast possible. To podcast producer Marty Garcia, who is doing such great work on creating these podcast episodes. To sound engineer David Grossoff, who records in San Francisco and also helps me out from long distance with my Seattle show. To project manager Dana Hanna. To video producer and archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to you for listening, for writing us a review. That means so much. Telling your friends wherever they are and sharing this on social media. That's how we grow. That's how we keep going. You spreading the gospel of body storytelling. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and thank you for listening to episode 50 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
It's just going to be outrageous tonight.
And the songs tonight, you guys.
Oh my God, so the dirty songs.
They're like, should we do this one? Like, no, do the dirty one.